spoke 5 or 6 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly which one, on the Indian of Ratzon, what it means to have Ratzon, and pushing yourself to do something more than what you're used to doing. That shiur is going to be continued today, and we interrupted with a bunch of things about mitzvah achas, getting ourselves involved in trying to make ourselves more available for certain mitzvahs, etc. We're going to go back to Ratzon. We're going to bring it in a different way. There are people out there that have been endowed with absolutely remarkable abilities, outstanding abilities, abilities far beyond an average man. Yosef HaTzadik was one of those people. He was not just the head and, like, he was head and shoulders above people. That's not just that. But even compared to tzaddikim, he was the greatest of the tzaddikim. You look at the Shivtei Kohen, you saw greatness. You saw the tremendous, the marvelous abilities that they had, each one with their own thing. And even then, it almost reads like each one of them had superpowers, that Naphtali was super fast, right? Yehuda was super strong, that each one of them had their superpower that they were good at. But Yosef HaTzadik was above all of them. The way that the Hasidish Sfarim call it is he was the Tzadik Yisod Olam. It's throughout Reb Tzadok. The Tzadik Yisod Olam, the foundation of the world, the one who really the whole world was based off of, is Yosef HaTzadik. And that made him greater than, forget about the rest of the people of the world, that's an obvious thing. He was greater than the greatest Tzadikim of the world. That's what it meant. In fact, they even give a whole thing that the Shefa of the world came through Yosef. That's why when Yosef left the Shvatim, all of a sudden a Rav came, and that the Shvatim thought they could get it on their own. That's why when they sold Yosef, they threw Yosef in the pit, they sat down to eat bread. Specifically, they thought that the parnasa came through them and not through Yosef HaTzadik. That's by Yeshu Lecho Lechem. Amazing things. And we think the world of Yosef. The Midrashim and the Gemaras go out of their way to attribute to him the most loftiest of midos and the greatest qualities that you could possibly imagine. And the truth is that Yosef HaTzadik was as great as you can imagine and more than that. Probably even more than how the Gemara and the Midrashim are putting him. But when you meet such a tzaddik, and you hear about such a great person, there is a great fallacy involved in this type of thing. You might think that that person was uber talented. He's just tremendously talented. And that guy was born with the correct way of looking at things and all the abilities that he had whatever arena or whatever he is, this is what the guy was. This is who he was from birth. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, he finished Shas in the womb. Oh, we're talking about these people. We think that way, that they're not regular human beings. We forget, and there's a major mistake that's made when we look at them. So what is that mistake? Let's give three examples. Beethoven, Michael Jordan, and Albert Einstein. Okay, let's take those three as our examples. All three of them went beyond the normal limits that a human being should have. And they became one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in their respective what they did with themselves. Now, two of them are different. I would say it's even all three of them are different from one another. You have a physical specimen, you have an emotional specimen in Beethoven, and you have an intellectual specimen. And all three of them went a little bit beyond that natural gift. Start with Michael, just because I grew up that way, Rabbi Sheinfeld grew up this way. You forget certain things about him. Michael Jordan was 6'6". No one in his family is over 6 feet tall. The books that you read about Michael Jordan, that you shouldn't, but if you did, read about him, says he used to stretch himself on the parks. He used to go up to the monkey bars and hold himself by his arms and stretch himself so that he'd be taller. Now, that doesn't work. I don't know if anybody's tried that. If anything, it's going to make your arms longer. It's not going to make your body any longer. I mean, I don't think that has the ability. The medrash notwithstanding of what they would do in Sodom when a person who was really short would come and go into the bed. Maybe that was a little bit different. But that's that. You look at him and you see grace. I don't know if anybody's ever seen videos of him playing. He literally looked like he was flying. That's where the whole thing came from, that he was able to fly. Like, it didn't look normal. It looked honestly like he was floating upon something. That when he jumped, it was not normal. There are people who had great jumping abilities. They didn't look this way. They look different. There was Clyde the Glide Drexler. There was Dominique Wilkins, but he had the pump. Did he have a nickname? I don't know if he had a pump, whatever it is, right? He had that. But nobody looked like this. He just looked different. It just looked different. And maybe that's because I'm from Chicago. It's very likely that I'm from Chicago, that I can't even imagine anybody being like it. But it was true when we watched him. You watched him growing up. You were like, where did this come from? Now, we think to ourselves, and you might say to yourself, well, because he was born that way. He was born with such a great jumping ability. Of course he became that way. But it's not true. And this is true. I almost said it's not true. Mr. Jordan, and I use that term loosely, pushed himself beyond the normal abilities that a human being has. He worked so hard. No matter how great he was, he kept working harder. He kept making himself better and better and better. You have to remember, he was not the number one pick in his draft. Not the number one pick. He was the number three pick. There were two players that were picked before him. One was good, one wasn't so good. Right, who were picked before him, and they themselves—they were specimens, amazing people, tall players, huge players. Michael Jordan's greatness was not only in his natural abilities; it's his ability to push himself beyond that, to get himself beyond. He didn't make his high school basketball team. That's famous because of what he said in his Hall of Fame speech. His freshman high school basketball team, he clearly tried to play baseball and could not do anything whatsoever. This is a guy who worked so hard to become the person that he was. So yeah, was there natural ability? Of course it was natural ability. But to become the superstar that he became, he had to work like no other person. He's spending all the days before the base measure started, after the base measure started, after the base measure ended, he was in the base measure. In the base measure, shooting basketballs, maybe it's a little bit different than what you do in a regular base measure, but he was there before and after, the first to get in, the last one to leave. That's who he was. That's the kind of person that he was. Mr. Einstein, Albert Einstein, there's no question. Yes, he was a genius. There's absolutely no question. The way he was came up, we know the little stories. He was never kicked out of, first of all, he never went to Cheder. I thought that he went to Cheder when he was a kid. He never did, unfortunately. His parents were always non-religious, but Albert Einstein did not get kicked out of school either. He left school because he kept failing. Now, that wasn't necessarily for a lack of ability. It's because he didn't believe in what they were teaching him, and he ended up leaving. But do you know what he did to himself? How he pushed himself? Spend hours on end thinking of a theory, working on himself to try to come up with an idea that would work. Failed experiments. He had thousands of failed experiments. In fact, toward the end of his life, he was actually ostracized from the scientific community because he didn't believe what anyone else was doing was right, and he kept to himself. You think of Albert Einstein, you think of a person who's well-respected, well-loved by everybody around. At the end of his life, he spent the last 10 years of his life by himself. No one wanted to be anywhere near him. Princeton, I believe it was. And people let him walk in the streets by himself. You think such a guy would be surrounded by students. He hated his students hated him. The reason why? He worked on himself like crazy. Like crazy. He wouldn't sleep, he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't drink. He would spend weeks at a time on a certain problem and wouldn't move until he brought himself out. There was natural ability there, there's no question whatsoever. But his thinking, his way, his working, the way he did things, was totally different than a normal human being's. And he became the person he was, a superstar in the scientific world, the person who became the idea of trying to create a theory, right, of what we call relativity today, came from hours and hours and hours, if not days, if not weeks, if not years, of constant work, of pushing himself past those limits. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes he failed. There were many things that he failed at when it came to stuff like that. And then he gets to Beethoven. Beethoven was living in a different world. He had no desire to be with people. He wasn't around normal human beings. He didn't like it. He might as well have been born blind and deaf because he had no shaykhus to anybody that was out there. He did his own thing, wore his own clothing. He went into big parties with like stains all over his stuff. Right? Yeah, people hated him, absolutely hated him. But he was a person who had a natural ability, there's no question, and then pushed himself beyond those abilities to become the person that he was. I don't know this, I'm not a music guy, and I don't know this at all. They say there are major, major differences between the plays that Beethoven made when he was younger and what he made in his middle years, when he made it at the end. The younger and the older years, when he's already old enough and he couldn't put all the effort into it, and when he was younger and he didn't have the effort, are completely different from the middle years plays, which are all the ones that we're supposed to know. The middle years are supposed to be the most special, the greatest that you have over here. But he had no patience. He couldn't deal with people. So here's the deal. Being a superstar doesn't come easy. It doesn't come that way. Yosef HaTzadik Lahavdil was also dealing with issues in which it wasn't somebody who was just living a life of natural abilities. I just happen to be a dream interpreter and I can do anything I want. He didn't wake up in the morning and become a dream interpreter. And sometimes we get messed over from these midrashim where the midrash says, oh, well, Yosef HaTzadik had the dream the night before. So we're like, oh man, if I had the dream the night before, I also would have been able to translate it for Paro. No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have. I got called up a sports station once and said, oh yeah, well, if I was 7'1", then I would be a great player in the NBA. And he said, no, you wouldn't have. If you were 7'1", you'd be the guy who doesn't make the NBA. There's no shaychus to the fact that I got lucky and I had this. Yeah, there's some luck involved, but there's a work hard, the effort, the amount that you have to put in beforehand that makes you into the superstar that you are. Just because Yosef HaTzadik had a dream doesn't mean he knows how to translate it. Yosef HaTzadik had to work at it. He woke up in the morning, and before he got called into Paro's palace, he's sitting there working out the dream. He's not doing anything else. He's not concentrating on anything else. His mind is, what does this dream mean? And when he finally figured it out, at that moment, maybe, that's when those people came by and said, we're going up to Paro. And he goes up in front of Paro, and he translates the dream in front of Paro. That wasn't because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a gift. It's because he made himself into a person that not only deserved to get the gift, but took the gift a step further. Made it one step further, took it one step more. That's what he is. We're forgetting about the nisyonos of Yosef. The fact that he was away from his family for 22 years, thrown in jail for 12 years, dealing with Ishus Potiphar. Forget about all that. What it's like being a king of a huge land, preparing them for a massive famine. Forget about all those nisyonos. Forget about that. Just the fact that he's willing to work like that. And the truth is, it's not the natural talents that separate the stars from the superstars. It's not that. I will show you many, many people. For example, have you ever heard of Joe the Destroyer Hammond? You ever heard of him? Joe the Destroyer Hammond? I don't blame you. He was a superstar, but beyond greatest. He is known as the greatest street baller ever. The greatest street baller ever. He was drafted by the Lakers in the 1970s. Okay? They wanted to sign him to a contract. Supposedly, the line is, you never know if any of this is true or whatever it is. He played against Wilt Chamberlain in a game. He only played in the second half and scored 56 points. Okay, that's the line that they say about him. They have crazy lines of what he was able to do. They say there has never been a player like him. So what happened? The Lakers signed him, sat him down, and they wanted to sign him to a guaranteed $50,000 contract for 3 years. $50,000. It was the largest contract ever offered in the NBA to a rookie. They were going to sit him down. They wanted to put him in. And they said, sign on the bottom line, you're a Laker, and we'll take care of you for life. You know what he said? He said, I make more money selling drugs on the street. So what did he do? He was, at the time, he had $300,000 stashed away. This is according to his biography. And he had another $150,000 deal that was working out then. He got arrested for drugs 1 year later, got thrown into jail for 12 years, 12 years altogether, and when he came out, it was over. He was done. It was like little, you could probably find a video somewhere of him playing, shooting basketball hoops. But they say he was by far the best basketball player anyone had ever seen. So what differentiates Joe, I don't even remember his name, the Destroyer Hammond, and, I don't know, Michael Jordan. What's the difference? Michael Jordan had the drive and he worked. And Joe Hammond worked in a different way. In a very different way. In a much easier form of work. That did not involve too much physical exertion, except when you're running away from the cops. That's the difference. That changes whenever he goes through. If you're willing to squeeze your limits out, to take away all your limitations, to push yourself, then you become Michael Jordan. And if not, you're Joe Hammond. That's all you become. You don't become any greater than that. You can't. I understand that this is a week after Hanukkah. But this is obvious that that's what happened to the Chashmonaim. You're dealing with undertrained, underprivileged. We have nothing. The Chashmonaim had absolutely nothing. Fighting against the absolute greatest army in the world at the time, the Syrian Greeks. Without a question, the most powerful. But the most powerful doesn't always win the war. The same way that the greatest team doesn't always win the World Series, except this year. The same way that you don't always have the greatest fighter winning a fight. It doesn't necessarily mean that way. There are so many other factors involved. It's not about the greatness. It's about the want. It's about the push before. What are you willing to do to get to that point? And you're either that way or you're not. The Hashmonaim pushed themselves. They worked. And yeah, they came up with a tactic of guerrilla warfare that was extremely, extremely decisive when it came to these types of wars. There's no question. But nonetheless, it's the effort that they put into every single day that the Greeks didn't have. They trained, but they didn't train like the Hashmonaim did. They trained in their army skills and their fighting and whatever it is. The Hashmonaim trained their minds to push themselves past the limits of what your Ruxin can do, making themselves into the winners of this war. They always say that if a person really wants something, you're going to be able to push yourself further. I mean, come on, we have a Gemara on this. We have a Gemara, we did it in the rush. And that base, what is Koldal and Gavar? What does Koldal and Gavar define itself as? Koldal and Gavar is the strongest one wins. The Rush says, simply put, Koldal and Gavar means whoever is the rightful owner of this object, whoever really owns this object, will make sure that he is going to win the object back. That's what Koldal and Gavar is. It's not, according to the Rush, a siluk ad-din. It's not taking yourself out from the din and based on saying, we don't have a decision to make in this case. It's put it in their hands. They will make the decision because the guy who wins is for sure the one who tries harder because it's his object. There's no question. That's the definition of Koldal and Gavar. Even within nature, you see this concept without nature as in the natural abilities of a human being, without discussing Ruchnius. This is what happens. This is just simply put what happens. The concept is true. This concept is true on so many levels. I'm not a runner. I'm big into playing sports once in a while, but I'm not a runner. I'm not that. But if my doctor would tell me that I'm going to have to exercise every single day for an hour a day, because if not, I'm going to die, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find time and I'm going to make sure I do it. I think that's understandable, right? If all of a sudden something changes, then I will make myself into that superstar. I'm going to make myself into something that's different. I'll change my diet, I'll change my lifestyle, I'll change everything about me in order to make myself into a superstar beyond what I want myself to be. And that's obvious. So the motivation has to be there. It's absolutely clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it within our natural abilities to be supernatural. To be supernatural. There's no question. So now the question is the motivation. What made Yosef HaTzadik into Yosef HaTzadik? He wanted it. What made Michael Jordan into Michael Jordan? He wanted it. What made Albert Einstein? What made Beethoven? They wanted it. The Hashmonaim. What made them what they did, where they were. You know, it would be awesome if we actually had a vision of that war, of what the war was like, and who was fighting against who, and what they were doing, and how they were doing it, etc. The Or HaChaim says that we're malachim fighting on their side. And that could be as well. But there's clearly something that the Hashmonaim had that pushed themselves beyond anything else. Maybe you had a person who was working on the Hashmonaim's level who somehow had fought past what his limitations were. He was supposed to die. He was supposed to have passed away in that war. But he pushed forward and somehow he lived. That just happened. The Hashmonaim come back into the Beis HaMikdash. They light the menorah. Does anybody see a connection there? They go ahead and they light the menorah. And if the Hashmonaim had pushed themselves past their boundaries, past their natural abilities, what they were able to do, and then they saw one jug of oil, and that jug of oil only had enough time to last for one night, then wouldn't it make sense that the Hashmonaim only won the war because they pushed themselves past their nature, that the oil would push itself past its nature and work for 8 straight nights? Doesn't that make sense? It makes sense that the abilities of the Hashmonaim would be transferred into their Ma'aseh Yadayim, into what they did. And then all of a sudden, what they did is, yeah, in Ekonami, the oil could have said back, it's enough for me to do one day. But if the Hashmonaim pushed themselves past that, then the oil should push themselves past it. And that idea, that's that attitude that they had is exactly what pushed it further. I'm going to end with this idea. I think it's, there are many people that live their lives, and some of you are coming to the end of your yeshiva lives now. If not now, then soon enough. And at this time, there's many people who have looked back at themselves and they said, man, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have pushed myself to do this. There are many people who say that. I have yet to hear a person who came out and told me, I tried too hard in yeshiva. I tried too hard. I tried too hard in anything. That at the end of their lives, at 120, they say, man, I should have just chilled out a little bit more. If only I would have relaxed a little bit more and not spent so much time. I don't mean like at work. I mean, not so much time working on my ruchnius, then things would have been a lot better for me. I don't know a person like that. This is where we are. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. You are a superstar. You're a chashmonai. That's what we're here for. That's what you are. That's what you're like. You're so much more than you realize. So you can choose to be the star, or you can make yourself into a superstar. Rely on your natural abilities, or push yourself to your supernatural abilities. It's your choice. And now you get to make a decision. What do I really want for myself? And yeah, it continues. We spoke about Ratzon before. This is a continuation of the line of Ratzon. But you're coming into a world where it's the middle of winter's mountain. We're mamish right in the middle. You only have, it's, I know it's crazy, but you're dealing with only how long until Purim? How long until Pesach? We're in Teves right now. So Teves, Shvat, Adar, you've got 2 months, 2 months and a few days until Purim comes along. Hey, try, push, see what you can do. Who knows? Honestly, who knows? I believe you can do it. I know you can do it. Have a good week.